is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here today. We're kind of doing a part two of our conversation begun last week with State Representative Gary Leaf, taking a look back at the recently adjourned session of the Oregon State Legislature. Lots of things to cover there. Gary, thanks for being back on this afternoon.
Kyle, thanks for having me back for a second interview. And you cut me off on the first one right in midstream.
Well, the clock goes on regardless of whether we're talking or not. So,
yeah, the music started and I knew I was in trouble. But, you know, listen, there's so many moving parts to the legislative process right now. I think it's really kind of challenging for people to get a handle on the process and really the role of citizens. You know, as we've discussed last week, removing citizens from the Capitol created a really odd dynamic, weird place where a lot of legislation was considered, much was passed, but very little was received any significant public input. One of my concerns is that many citizens now feel that they're disenfranchised and they're distrustful, really, of government. And I personally hear from many constituents who just want me to do anything to restore what they view as the traditional Oregon values of hardworking private property laws and public safety, especially in the larger urban areas like Portland. But what you need to understand is we don't control that. Someone in Roseburg who's elected, like myself, has no oversight of something going on in Portland. While we might want to, and we certainly can, you know, raise a hand to it and say, hey, like, look, I'd like to talk to you about it. Really, at the end of the day, they don't have to listen to us and they don't have to do anything that we ask them to do. And that's up to their, basically, that's up to their local elected officials, from the city council to the county commissioners to the sheriffs, you know, all those things. And so people are frustrated right now with the process, Kyle.
Well, I wanted to ask you about one aspect. Of course, a big thing that government does is provide for public safety. There's a lot of elements on that. And of course, in the past 16 months, a lot has been talked about in that arena. What were your thoughts about what was looked at and approved in this past session regarding public safety and police?
So we, from day one, were really working for public safety funds to be increased. And a lot of people don't understand, but in 1960, we actually had more Oregon State police officers on the road than we do now. Now, last session, I worked on a bill that was passed that tried to increase it, and we wanted to get those levels back up to at least the 1960 values, where we have, you know, public safety officers on the street. Now, it was kind of odd where you see in Portland, you know, they're talking about, you know, reducing those funds, but in rural Oregon, they're talking about increasing those funds. So I think we met the happy medium. We increased most of the public safety funds, and I think we're on the trajectory to get more funding for the future.
And what do you think will look differently about that? Was there anything in terms of requirements for police, law enforcement, things like that?
No. So, you know, you understand that the city is responsible for the city police, and the county commissioners, you know, they are responsible for the funding for the sheriff. Now, the sheriff is an elected official, and he brings forward what he thinks his budget, you know, should look like. And then Oregon State Police is done through the legislature. So there's three completely separated tiers of public safety right there.
Along with public safety, another big area of the state budget is education. There was some back and forth about the overall level spent between both parties, but what were your thoughts about the school funding that came through the session?
So I thought we did actually pretty good. A lot of the funding will come from the American Rescue Plan from the federal government, or the ARPA dollars. So like in my example is I asked for $2 million of special funding that I received, and it could have gone anywhere. You know, I could have put it in transportation or upgrades, you know, it could have gone anywhere. But what I did was I met with President Lasher, Michael Lasher, who's done a great job, and said, you know, I think this $2 million should really go towards education. And if I try and distribute that, I don't know where it goes. And so Michael really talked about the challenges of the schools and the limited budgets and the role of kind of ESD. And so this funding should be released in October so that this will be time to enhance whatever ESD is working on their budgets. So, for example, Glendale, Days Creek, South Umpqua, Riddle, Winston-Dillard, Roseburg, they all get a portion of that $2 million. And it'll work towards networks, Ethernet switches, you know, ViewSonics for kids to view large format for the screen, for the your classrooms, their server backups and storage systems, iPads, and other needs. So I'm really excited about that $2 million. And we're actually going to work on another $2 million to go with that as the year extends. And a lot of that funding, again, can come from the American Rescue Plan.
And so will that be funding that comes out in the next 12 months, or will some of that extend down the road to being available later?
Yeah, I think that will come out both, you know, in the next 12 months and then later. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I was going through some of my bills this morning, just trying to follow them and stuff. And, you know, we had some really great bills that ended up taking the funding out. And so I talked to the kind of the head of those agencies, and I said, you know, what happened to this funding? I mean, it was in my bills, and then it got removed. And they said, this was the weirdest session. So because of this ARPA money and because of this federal dollars coming in, they took out a lot of the funding requests that went into these bills. They just removed them, and then they funded them in the Christmas tree bill. I don't know if you've heard of the Christmas tree bill.
Yes.
But it's at the last of the session, and so they were funding a lot of these things through the Christmas tree bill that we had no idea you know, what was going on. And what really happens is then that reduces the amount of money that Oregon taxpayers have to pay for it, and then the federal government will cover it. So it's a weird, weird session.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Representative Gary Leaf, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 at Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1 on tomorrow's program. State Senator Floyd Prusansky will be back on with us. State Representative Gary Leaf today taking another look at the recently concluded session of the Oregon State Legislature. Just out of the break, Representative Leaf, you mentioned that this was kind of a weird session. What about bills, though, that you were happy about, maybe favorite bills of the session?
Well, I had quite a few favorite bills, but, you know, we talked a little bit about it before. Public safety was really a big part of what I tried to get approved. And normally, it's open to the public, and so we get a lot of people who come in. We get officers that come in. You know, we get a lot of different kinds of things. So we didn't get that this time. I mean, it was a totally closed session, and you had to make an appointment with me or anybody else. And when I have given up all my 15-minute slots, there's no time for anyone else, especially when we start so early and we end so late. So it was just really, really weird. I worked on House Bill 5028, and that was a public safety OSP bill that we approved 22 police accountability bills. So those were really important. And we have three retired police officers in our caucus. So we had really good information on whether those bills were good or how we needed to change them. And I think those are really important, but then we also had to, you know, fund their infrastructure, which we did. So that was probably, I think, my number one thing. But I want people to understand that the Oregon Constitution clearly states that municipal matters are in the jurisdiction of the mayors and the elected city councils. So we can't just, you know, wave our magic wand and say, all right, this funding will help all of these agencies. It only helps OSP. It's all the only thing that we have under our jurisdiction. And then I think probably the second bill, and that's the one that I was calling some of my agency friends and saying, what the heck happened to our funding that was in these bills? Because I requested $5.92 million for CASA funding, and it got removed at the last minute. And I'm like, oh my God, what happened to that? And so when I called up one of the district managers, he said, yeah, that was really weird. They pulled it out and then funded it through the American Rescue Plan or some other plan. So it got funded through the Christmas tree bill. And I have no idea if that was because they felt like they, you know, it wouldn't come out of the state budget, you know, or what. But CASA is really important. You know about CASA, don't you?
Right. And you've talked about that before, the court-appointed special advocates. And I know in past years, I think at one point you were even on the board.
Yep. I've actually been on the board for two different counties, but we haven't had any fundraisers over the last year and a half. And so that's how, like Douglas County, that's how they survive. They get about $35,000 from the state, and they go out and raise $300,000 in fundraising, and they didn't have it this year. So their funding will be increased, not as much as that, but it'll help. And it also helps with the volunteer program too. It expands it, and they do great things on it. Anyways, those are two bills that I chief sponsored in a bipartisan manner. So I went over, picked a Democrat who's also worked on those, Representative Neron, and so we two chief sponsored those bills all the way through, and they were both approved.
How important is it, do you think, when you've got a piece of legislation, given the dynamics of the democratically controlled legislature, to be able to reach out and get a Democratic co-sponsor in some of your bills?
You know, I think anybody in the legislature who wants to get their bills approved really needs to have that bipartisan support, and especially if you can get it in the House and then in the Senate too. I think that really shows a lot. And a couple times I actually got the Speaker of the House to chief sponsor some of my bills, and that makes it huge.
What about looking forward, schedule-wise, what's anticipated in terms of a special session later on?
So we have a special session coming up in September. I think it's like the 21st or something. And it'll just be a three-day session. But and the topic, I think, is already, I think the governor's already put the main topic out, and whether she will allow for other topics to go in there, I'm not really sure. You know, the governor has extended her emergency powers again, so we have no idea, you know, what's going to happen between now and 2 months from now. And, you know, what's really bad about that is someone who's elected on just the Democrat side, who comes from the metropolitan district, Portland, who is making all of these decisions and has no impact, or not talking to us, you know, in the rural areas. So we've asked, I think, three times, maybe four times in the past to let the legislature decide on that. Quit doing it by yourself.
What about some concerns you have just given the way the legislature has been operating as you look ahead to the future?
Well, you saw probably that they opened up the Capitol to people to be able to go through there. They're doing a remodel right now, so some of the Capitol is closed because of the remodel. Like, for example, our offices are shut down right now because they're doing some seismic, I don't even know what you call them, but they would be like your, what goes in your car to make it ride smoother. And so anyways, they're putting those things in, and it's supposed to be closed in certain areas until the next session, which is a year and a half from now. The short session will have limited access, but I'm not sure that people will be able to come into the Capitol, and that's my biggest concern. And I think it's so important that we have the ability to have more information than what we just get in an email or something. And so I'm hopeful that we are going to open it back up like usual, but I have no idea.
Just about out of time. What's ahead in your schedule this summer in terms of in-person activities with people in the district?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have the fair coming up. That's sometime in August. We have a booth out at the fair, and we should have Representative Hayden at that and Representative Brock Smith and myself and my communications director, Larry Rich, out there. So, anyways, looking forward to meeting everybody.
All right. State Representative Gary Leaf, thanks for being on today.
Thank you for not cutting me off today, Kyle.
12:58 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.